Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Welcome, Rita Steele.
Hi, I'm not very quick-witted tonight. I'm tired, so
don't throw anything at me.
Thank you.
We're into that.
Now, Rita, we're talking gardening and what to plant this time of year, because it is important as a person living in the modern world that we learn how to plant things and when we should plant them, because it's part of being sustainable.
First of all, though, great Disney Moana diary you've got there.
Thank you.
I think it's important. Man, back in the day when your grandma had a real mint garden, that was mint.
Yeah, I feel like people used to be a lot more aware of what was going on and like around them than they are now. Like you say to someone, like, is it?
I'm not into like a flower garden, but like a good garden that's got heaps going on. You know,
yeah.
Like a bit of a nature sort of garden. Let it go a bit.
Yeah.
You know what
yep,
I mean?
Yep. So the good news is that you can, this is a great time of year to be planting.
Okay.
The bad news is it's not the greatest time of year to be planting your garden as such.
What?
What do you mean?
Topic over.
Are we playing like a long game here? Do you mean that we should be, it's a good time for planting you know, like playing a long game, sort of citrus trees and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So this is a really good time of year to be planting your trees, because technically you should have planted your winter garden in the autumn. And then the next kind of opportunity to plant your garden will be in spring. You can probably get away with putting some carrots in now if you could do a garden of carrots.
Carrots are great. Yeah, apparently one of the easiest to grow, if we were to grow something on Mars, carrots would be sort of the number one. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are carrots sort of more of a winter thing?
They mimicked the soil from Mars, and then this place just grew heaps of stuff, and they're like, yep, carrots are pretty good, but just about everything they can grow on there.
Each carrot.
Sounds like you just watched The Martian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I didn't. I didn't watch that.
Yes, but it is peak time of year to be planting some trees. So just if you don't, if we'll start off with, for those of you that live in apartments and are like, yeah, awesome, I can't plant a tree in my apartment. On the 27th and 28th of July, there is a planting day to celebrate Matariki and also the Million Trees Project that Auckland's got going. So the aim was to plant 60,000 trees over a few dates in July. That's one of the weekends, so you can head along.
Also, though, rooftop gardens, please.
Yeah, I know.
Please, can we just rooftop garden, eh?
Why are we not adding those? And vertical gardens?
I didn't want to piss you off.
I believe there are a couple around the university campus, a couple of rooftop gardens. Don't ask me what buildings they're on, but I think there are a couple.
There are a couple.
Oh, that's cool.
A couple.
But it should be kind of just a stock standard.
I feel like there's probably a couple of hundred buildings, though.
Mm. Yeah, it should be like a stock standard for any new development should have a rooftop garden.
Right on.
So there is what to plant. Okay, no, why don't we talk about why you should plant? So there are two big reasons. One, if you plant some fruit trees, you can eat local. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's less carbon, less food miles.
It's cool to trip out on photosynthesis and just how rad that actually is.
It is. I mean, we've spent billions and billions and billions of dollars trying to recreate it, and we can't.
Well, hydroponic.
Synthetically recreate. Like, oh, look, what we can make happen. It's like, yeah, well, a tree can do that, you know, without costing so much money.
Shame out, human.
And also we need more trees, because deforestation in New Zealand has been happening since the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And also it can do a good job of erosion control. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk about two types of planting of trees. So we'll talk about fruit trees, mm-hmm. because I think that's the one that you're probably the most interested in, Johnny. And big hungry.
There should be no other trees around. I reckon every tree should just provide some kind of fruit. That's my new policy on trees.
But to you, what about to the animals? Because they all do.
Animals like fruit.
No, not all animals. Some animals like
nectar. Plant the ones that their animal likes.
Yeah, but that's what the world is, man. Every tree has a purpose.
This is coming from like my backyard. I've got a tree that's like cool. It puts out nice, like, cool little flowers every once in a while. But it'd be way mentor if it was just giving me some apricots or something. Like, it's not really doing anything for me.
You're saving the bees.
There you go.
Yeah, I think the bees need to sort out the apricot trees as well.
My question is based on, what sort of fruit tree can I eat the most of without getting sick of? You know, is it like going to be an apple?
I think that, you
pears
know what?
Or apples.
This is what the planning.
And get all like, you know.
Yeah, and this is what I think the planning of when you go, okay, I'm going to plant some trees. I think the plant, it's all in the
planning. Do you want to be a millionaire or not, John? Just planting some lime trees and or avocado trees. And
yeah, I mean, for me, so
the,
we've just.
How much are limes at the moment? Jesus, limes.
I know, right?
And so, I have no idea. I just like saying that because it's.
Limes are always expensive. Exactly. I mean, even when they're not expensive, they're expensive.
Saffron field.
So we're planting at my house. We're planting a little fruit tree orchard. We don't have a ton of space, so we had to think about what it is I eat the most and how far some of the things I come from. So I was eating a lot of smoothies and berries. They come from like all over the world.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna grow some berries. And you don't need a lot of space to grow berries, especially blueberries.
Okay.
Okay, so I would, you know, have a look at blueberries. The other thing you can do is look at dwarf trees. So I didn't quite realize, but when we
is started, that like not a bonsai tree, but not
I've
a massive
I've got a dwarf
tree.
Lime, but it is.
Is that just a bad? That might be a badly growing lime tree, John.
It's never fruited.
Yeah, that's not.
How old is it?
It's about 3-4 years old.
Yes, it should be fruiting by now. Usually, the first couple of years, you have to actually take the fruit off, like the buds off, so that they. So it can just
like
put its energy into,
good.
So it can put its energy into the next sort of season.
And tell me more about your lime tree, John.
I'm,
if you know what I mean.
I'm sort of thinking that I need to feed it, and this kind of links back to the compost discussion that we had
absolutely
of last week. But I just need to check my compost is ready.
Yeah, so it should be dark and smell nice and smell like soil. And your
that rat probably shouldn't be there anymore.
He got rid of it last week, maybe.
Yeah, trapped it, hit it with a hammer.
Cool.
Okay. So
shiny much.
You can also probably tell by the colour of its leaves, because it should have quite bright colours. And if it doesn't, then it's probably a little bit nutrient poor. And also like your soil, you know, it might not be that it's just any nutrient. You can get some feed. Go and buy some feed. And
too much
feed
pee?
It.
Too much pee on it, John, I think.
Oh, that yeah, that sort of pee.
John's pee,
maybe
don't pee
or
at
not
it.
Enough.
You know, pee off to the side of it.
I've been. Everyone swears by peeing on citrus. Mm-hmm. It thrives apparently, but yes, I also recommend avocados. But then there's all these things. So when you do decide to grow fruit, you do need to understand if it's self-pollinating, or whether it needs a little buddy next to it, or whether it needs a different variety. So some like berries, for example, they need a variety A and a B to fruit. So, you know what? Your lime potentially could be like that. Like, it might need a little buddy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, might need a little lime lady. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what type of lime it is?
That's a bit cute, isn't it?
No. Off the top of my head, no, I can't remember.
That's right, but it's got a little tag or...
I think it's a dwarf lime, but I don't know exactly.
How do I look after my blueberry trees? I have a whole bunch and they look half dead and grow really slow.
Oh, no, they definitely should be, they should be pretty healthy in some of the old blueberries.
Okay.
So when they fruit, they fruit. But also a lot of these things have peak lives. So passion fruit's a really good example. They won't fruit really for 3 years and then they peak at 5 and then start dying. So if that guy's blue or girl's blueberry bush is kind of a bit old, it may be at the end of its life. But what you can do is, actually take really good note of what is happening to the leaves. Is it, what colour are they? Are the edges funny? Is there spots on them?
Are they poisonous berries? Kind of turn the page, sort of into the wild, be sure to turn the page kind of thing.
Just maybe they've got a fungus, or they might have, you know, or they might have wet feet. So no trees really like wet feet. So make sure there's really good drainage in the bottom. And a lot of Auckland has got really bad soil, like soggy clay soil.
Some central, like, I mean, if you try to dig around the central areas, a lot of scoria. It's kind of like ideal for a lot.
I don't know if you're aware, but we have had volcanoes in the past.
100%
so
aware. I'm, you know? I'm talking to someone that's dug a lot of trenches in this area. Yeah. Rita, so believe me, I know about the fucking scoria in the fucking dirt. Don't worry about that.
It has made for quite fertile soil, and especially parts like...
52 volcanoes, roughly, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Avondale and Newlyn and stuff, because over the years the nutrients have come down from the Waitakere. So you should have quite good soil where you are.
Okay.
Yep.
And if I'm making a decision on, say, an apple tree, is there a resource for me to go, this will be the best sort of apple tree that will grow in my region?
Yes, well, not one place, but what you can do is have a look at, you want to look at things like how many frost days there are Which you can just Google, you know, in Emmerdale or even Auckland or Newland, wherever you are, you can kind of Google how many frost days there are a year, peak, like the rain days are also quite important. And then if, when you're buying a fruit tree, you can usually ask find someone smart. If they don't sound smart, find someone else. Oh. But you can usually start. Okay. You can get people that like, you know, you're like, which tree should I buy? And they're like, that one looks good. You know, that person's not going to be welcome information.
Yeah, how can I help you? Kind
of thing. Don't want that person.
No, well, I had someone really good the other day and they were talking to me about, you know, frost days. So certain trees you've got to cover with newspaper.
Mm.
You know,
there's a lot of talk about frost days at the moment around my neighbourhood. Don't worry about that.
No, yeah. So if you've got your pooka trees, you want to be covering in newspaper so they don't get burnt edges. Burnt edges usually means that they've been burnt by frost.
Aside from berries, was there anything else that will put out a lot of fruit or vegetables?
Berries are great because you can freeze them and use them later on and stuff.
Yeah, totally. I mean, pretty much all fruit you can freeze as well. Mm. So it's all in how you care for them. So, I mean, there's also things like nectar, like your stone fruits, they need a certain amount of really cold days to actually fruit really well. So you've just got to kind of really know the area, just the basics. Like, you know, the thing about Auckland is that it gets really humid, so that means that fruit trees are likely to get funguses, so you've just got to keep an eye on that. And there's plenty of non-synthetic pesticides, fungicides out there if you don't want to spray them with fungicides, to keep them, you know, and also not planting them too close to each other can help with that, so it's got nice airy around it.
Okay.
Yeah. So Google is your friend, but you do have to know a few things, like your minimum temperature and maximum temperature and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So fruit trees are great. The other thing is also native trees. So they're slow to grow. So if you're looking at planting an area and you don't want to lose your view too quickly, you know, great idea.
Monkey apple trees are fun if you have kids growing up about the same time as the monkey apple tree. By the time they kick in to the point where they're making a little Joey gun out of a rubber thing and a hose thing, they'll be very, very grateful for that. I had a couple of good monkey apple trees around my house. And I love making little Joey guns. And that's what we did in Silverdale. Big hungry.
I also was partial to that as well, right around on my 10-speed with my Joey gun.
10-speed bike? You're a millionaire from Auckland, and I'm just a casual little BMX rider from Silverdale.
My 10-speed bike cost, I think, was like some old dunger from the trade and exchange.
Probably cost about $1 million. You're calling it old dunger perspective.
So I'm just going to shout out and say that monkey apples are not native, and they're also very fast growing, so probably not the
fast
most
flying. If you put them in the thing, you shoot it right. Fucking awesome. Well, give me another bit of ammo that isn't a fruit that we can't eat but is native. What could I use in my Joey gun?
Oh, there's plenty of berries out there.
Okay. Oh, berry would be good stainage. I like
it. There's some that will...
Will it hold up under velocity is what I'm getting at. Monkey apples are very resilient.
They were resilient. They were...
What do you mean were? Don't R.I.P. monkey apples.
I got rid of
still
my
around.
Monkey apples.
You can't eat monkey apples, though, can you?
No. You can't eat them at full pace out of a Joey gun. You can eat heaps, John.
They're also eaten by the kereru and spread, and they become weeds. So
someone's getting a feed. That's good. Little bugger.
My favourite is kowhai.
Beautiful tree.
Beautiful. You can prune them so that
they
don't
stay.
They're
cute when they're little as well.
Too big.
Buggers.
Yeah, and I've got a small one at the moment that had two kereru on it the other day. So they attract the birds really beautifully, and you can keep them small. And the other one that I think all my friends know that I love these, Nikos. So if you've got a small space and they've got tap roots that go straight down, so you don't have to worry too much about them like taking over your driveway or anything like that.
Ah, good call. Everyone knows about the nasty pahutukawas that were planted over in San Francisco, and they're ruining San Francisco now. Sucked in San Francisco.
I'll give you a little fact that I found out the other day.
Please go.
That trees are attracted to underground water. Tree roots are attracted to underground water.
Oh, yeah. They go right in the drains.
Do you know why?
Because they can hear it. Vibrations.
They can hear it. It's exactly right. They can totally hear it.
As a former plumber, I've found a lot of sort of your terracotta drains full of
Trying to go to that noise.
It's like a hydroponic scenario at that point, and that tree is kicking ass because it's going to that nice shit in person that you've been peeing and shit.
Also, pahutukawas are great for holding up banks, though. So if you don't have any drainage on a bank and you need something to hold it up, go get one of those bad boys.
Oh, monkey apple trees are also a pest plant in the AC region.
They are.
Fuck's sake.
You're not actually.
Becca's throwing feijoas. Cheers.
You know, not these days. Feijoas are like $10 a kilo.
Are they the new lemon, lime?
They are the new. Like everyone.
What's winning? Avocado, lime, or feijoas? Or saffron? Oh, saffron's always
saffron's
winning.
Saffron's always winning. But
Gumnut. You make it
hurt. Okay. Yeah, feijoas, man. I think everyone cut them down to like subdivide their properties.
Too
and now
many
they're
feijoa
like
trees
endangered.
Because they're gross. Species. That's why they're gross.
They are gross. They're terrible. Get out of my life.
Okay, that's me. I don't think I've got too much more to tell you.
Thanks, Rita.
Right, thank you, Rita.
All I really wanted to get to was how much feijoas are gross. So I'm glad we got there in the end, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.